do want to first of all say good morning to everybody. It's certainly good to be back in the house of the Lord, and certainly thankful to see everyone that's come out to be with us this morning. And I'm so thankful that God allows us to feel His Spirit from time to time, and especially in singing those sweet songs of praise. And I'm thankful this morning that because my Savior lives, I can face tomorrow. You know, there's a song that says, I don't know who holds tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. And for some reason, the last couple years, that song has become dear to my heart. Because the more I think about it, you know, something could happen tomorrow that's going to cause me to not be able to work. Something could happen tomorrow to my house and cause me not to be able to have a place to stay. And something can happen to my vehicle to cause me not to have any kind of transportation. But what the Lord done for me on that altar there at Pleasant Grove Church, nobody can take that away. I don't know what might happen to me tomorrow, but I can tell you this, I'll be okay, whatever may come my way, because the Lord saved my soul, and I'm thankful for His saving grace this morning, as I hope you are too, if you've been saved. It is so good to be in the house of God this morning. Before we go further in the Lord's service, do you feel like we need to go to Him in prayer? We got some out this morning. Brother Greg Edwards messaged me and said they wouldn't be here. Him and his wife are a little bit underneath the weather, and so let's be prayerful for him. And of course, Sister Marilyn, I don't think she's feeling that well this morning either, so let's be prayerful for her. And all the others that's not able to be here with us for some kind of reason, let's be prayerful for them, that God would just keep them safe, that He might allow us to see them one more time. But above all, let us just be prayerful for those that are lost. I wonder if at this point in time, if there might be a prayer request or anything upon anybody's hearts that needs to be said or done. Anything at all? I'd like to, before we go further this morning, would like to ask if anybody has anything upon their hearts that they feel like needs to be said or done at this time. If not, then we're going to go and try to present that with what the Lord has laid on our hearts for this morning. Well, there's the song book. We was praying, there was the song that just came to my mind, and there's just in the chorus, you know, it. I believe there's a whole lot of truth to it. the song, it's entitled, Jesus, Use Me. And in the chorus it said, Oh Lord, even if it's humble, then just help my will to crumble. And this morning as we go into what the Lord has laid on our hearts, we just want our will to crumble and His will be done this morning. So I'd ask that you would just continue to pray for us this morning, that the Lord would just be with us and He can just use His word however He sees fit. If you got your Bibles and you would like to follow with me, I'm going to go into the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And feel like we need to start in verse 14. Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 14. And if at any point this morning the Lord lays something on your heart to do, you know, people often say, well, I don't want to interrupt the preacher. It'd be okay if you interrupt me as long as God's will gets done. I've seen and I've been in services to where a preacher's preaching and all of a sudden one or two brothers or sisters had to testify in the middle of it, and that's okay. I was also at a service one time there was a preacher. He felt like he needed to preach, so he got him behind the podium, started preaching, and then another preacher felt like he needed to preach at that moment. So while the preacher was occupying the first part of the congregation, he went to the back half of the congregation and started preaching, and some people might count that as a little strange, but I think as long as we follow the Spirit of God, God's will be done, and God has a purpose as to why He lays these things on our heart. And this morning, and I know that it's almost like beating a dead horse, how we've requested and we've asked if anybody's got anything on their hearts to say, and I don't mean to do that in a way to drag the service out. It's just that I feel like everybody needs to be given an opportunity to say that which the Lord has laid on their hearts. And, for some reason this past week it sort of troubled me a little bit. But, this morning you don't need to walk out of these doors if the Lord's laid something on your heart to say or do. You don't need to leave it undone. And, I don't know why that's been so big on my heart and mind this past week. But, I've often thought about how we never know who might be sitting amongst us, who needs to hear what God has just placed upon our hearts. You know, how God could just take, even if it's just something that, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. He can take that, and he can take that and reach into the heart of the sinner and maybe even show them that there's just something that's just not right between him and God. And, this morning we just need to be about our Father's business, and I can't stress that enough. I think that when Jesus was telling his church in the book of Matthew that you are the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. I believe that there's something special about that light. I believe that when we're saved, God gives us this special light to shine in this dark and sinful world. And Jesus had even said at one point, I believe it was the book of Luke, if I'm not mistaken, how he said when a man has a candle, does he not set it upon a candlestick to where everybody in the room can see? This world, and as we read throughout the Bible, this world, it'll continue to say that it's just dark and it's sinful. But folks, I tell you what, that there needs to be a light that shines bright in this dark and sinful world. I remember growing up in Sunday school, how my mom, who was my Sunday school teacher at the church that Dad had pastored, you know, she taught me a song. And I know it's been taught to several generations of kids in children's Sunday school. And I think it's a good one to teach them. But I think also it's a good one for us who have grown up and matured a little bit. I think it's a good one for us to remember from time to time about how in the song it says, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Folks, if you've been saved by the grace of God this morning, let your light so shine before this dark and sinful world. And I know that to some of us that might sound a little bit of elementary, especially those who've been to church for several years, but folks, let your light so shine before the men in this world, before humanity in this world. People need to see, and I believe people need to see us as God's people working for Him, and I believe that they need to see us differently than the way they see this world. They need to see and understand that there's something different about us as saved individuals and then the lost sinners in this world. I believe they need to see that. And it hurts my heart from time to time when you know, these individuals who call themselves saved by the grace of God, you can't tell them different than the lost people in this world. And it breaks my heart because there needs to be something there to distinguish between the two. And I believe that, you know, this world, how it's got multiple, I call it religious institutions, how they go out and preach false doctrine up one side and down the other. When they come into God's house and the church of the true and living God, they need to be able to see and know that there's something different between us and this world. They need to be able to understand that. And I think that's why it's so important to follow the Spirit of God and His service. You know, I love being able to feel His presence. And I love how sometimes He allows me to sit in what we call heavenly places. And lots of times I just can't get enough of it, you know. Lots of times when that happens, I get a little sad when we dismiss the service because I just can't get enough of it. But folks, let me tell you what. I believe that we need to spend a little time alone with God. I believe that when we spend those times alone with God, He even allows us to sit in heavenly places with Him privately. And folks, I tell you what, I know I'm going everywhere, just bear with me for a moment. But you know, I recall back in Exodus how Moses spent 40 days alone with God. And how when he came down off that mountain, it said that his face and his countenance had a glow about it. To the point that he had to wrap his face up because the glow was so bright that it caused some of the people to be scared. It caused some of the people to sort of not see blind a little bit, you know. But I tell you, if we spend some time alone with God, I believe He'll allow our countenance to glow just a little bit and more than just in the household of God. You see, I don't believe that the work of God should just take place on Sunday mornings. And let me say that again. I don't believe that the work of God should just take place on Sunday morning. It's something that we need to carry with us throughout the whole week. It's something that we need to just indulge ourselves in throughout the week, is in the presence and the glory of God. And that way, when we go out to this lost and dying world, that people might see and be able to understand, maybe even question, that there is just a difference between God's people and the people of the world. Now, I love coming to the Lord's house and worshiping the Lord. But I tell you what, I love worshiping the Lord even outside of this house. And I believe He allows us to be able to do that. But there's nothing sweeter than coming amongst my brothers and sisters in Christ and worshiping the Lord together and just feeling heaven itself just come down from us and being able to not only feel, but to be able to see the power of God just move amongst His people. And folks, let me tell you what, if there's something that we need in our churches today, it is the power of God. If there's something that we need in our churches more than ever, it is His sweet, flowing presence of the great Spirit that He has. You know, I don't even know if I'll get to this. I hope I do, but I tell you, you know, I read, and I believe it was the first epistle of Peter, how he was telling the church there, he said, we were eyewitnesses of His Majesty, even Jesus Christ, meeting Jesus Christ. That, you know, I started thinking about that. That Peter was an eyewitness of Him and His glory, and I believe that it was Peter, James, and John who went up to the mount there and saw Jesus transform before their very own eyes. But I tell you what, you know, they were an eyewitness of these things. You know, they saw Him physically and personally. And as I began to think about what Peter had said, you know, I might not have seen Jesus physically with my eyes, but I know that when He saved my soul, I became a witness of His Majesty. I became a witness of Him and a witness of His goodness and a witness of the great salvation that He bestows upon mankind. Folks, I tell you, if you're a witness to these things, the redeemed of the Lord need to say so. Amen. And let people know. You know, I tell you what, I love studying the old church history, the old Baptist lineage. I love reading about the great revivals that God had brought to us once before. And let me tell you this, you know, how the day of Pentecost, how Peter stood up and the disciples, they began to preach, and about how 3,000 souls were saved that day. You know, let me tell you what, that's still the same God that I serve. I want to get that out right now. The God who saved 3,000 souls, or about 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, is the same God that I still serve. Now let me tell you, if any of our preachers saw 3,000 souls getting saved today, we'd probably pass out from the pulpit. But let me tell you what, folks, God still has that same saving power today as He did on the day of Pentecost. I still serve that same God. I still serve a God who just a couple Saturdays ago reached down and saved a little girl on the altar. I still serve a God that last Sunday troubled little two boys. I still serve a God that on November the 12th of 2006, He reached down and He let me know that there was something wrong with me and showed me that I was lost and undone and in my sins, and He reached down and saved my soul. I still serve that same great and wonderful God. What is it? One of the psalmists, they said, "Great is our God, and greatly He is to be praised." I believe that with all my heart this morning. But you know, here in Ephesians in the 5th chapter, if the Lord will allow me to get to it, I want to speak to you a little bit about worshiping God. When we come together in the Lord's house, we shouldn't just come here to say, well, we've been to church. I'm afraid so many people, especially amongst our congregations, are doing that. They do it just for a show. Just to walk in, sit down, listen to the preacher preach for about 30 minutes, and then just say, well, I've been to church. Folks, you're saved by the grace of God. You shouldn't come to church just to fill up your place in the pew. You need to come to church with a heart and a mindset of worshiping our Almighty God and worshiping about Him, singing praises about His saving goodness. And I believe this, that when we come in the fact of trying to worship God and trying to sing His praises and try to do His will, I believe we also need to come with the mindset of, Lord, open up the heavens and pour down Your blessings upon us. It's not selfish to ask that of God. I believe God wants to bless His people. I really do. I believe God wants to prosper His church. I believe God wants to prosper His people. But first, His people have to come together and have to have the mindset of wanting to worship Him and wanting to see these things happen. I tell you what, I'm not one who would get up in front of a congregation and just start randomly singing gospel songs. But let me tell you this, God lays it on my heart, I'll do my very best to do it. And I tell you this much, I don't care how terrible my voice might sound, or maybe how we sound together as a congregation. Our voices, the way they sound, they don't matter. In the book of Psalms, the Bible tells us that we need to make a joyful noise unto our Lord. And I tell you what, when we sing these old songs of Zion and these songs that have meaning to them, I tell you what, we don't just need to sing them just from our lips, but we need to sing them from the depths of our heart. Do I believe singing is a good part of the service? I really do. I believe it's something to just help get our minds and our hearts stirred up for God. I think it's something to just help us get our focus on what we need to do and who we're worshiping. But folks, let me tell you this much. I'm so glad that the old saints of old, whenever they came together to meet and to worship and to praise God, they came there with an intent of wanting to see souls saved by His grace. Matter of fact, let me tell you this much. I was reading a book about prayer. And there was a man years ago of the Welsh Baptist that came over from England. He preached a sermon, and after he got done preaching the sermon, there was about 50 people that went to the altar, got saved. And of course, you know, not for me, but all honor and glory to God, as he would say. But there was a man who envied that and said, well, now, brother, where did you get the knowledge? Where did you get that power to preach that message and to have these sinners to come? He said, well, let me show you. He said, in my living room, underneath this window, on my knees, is where I got in touch with God. And He gave me that message. And He had me to study it out. And He gave me the Spirit to preach that. Folks, let me tell you what. I believe that when there is preaching done and behind the pulpit, I believe first it needs to come from a God-called man, but second it needs to come from a man that also got that message directly from God Himself. Amen. I really, really do believe that, because let me tell you what, I've been in some services to where throughout the week I know I wasn't right with God. I know I'd done these itty-bitty sins in private, and I didn't think anybody saw it until that Sunday morning the man of God got up there and started preaching about these things and started bringing them up. And I said to myself, well, I wonder who told this man about it. Let me tell you what, nobody knew about anything that I'd done, but God did. And God wanted to bring that up to me and reprove me of it. Folks, let me tell you what. We live in a world today that they come in the church house and they hear a gospel message that doesn't tickle their ears and it hurts their feelings just a little bit. They want to go out and have nothing to do with it. Let me tell you this morning, if there's ever a time that a good old man of God starts preaching against the sin that you're doing, you don't need to take it up with the man, you need to take it up with God Himself. If it's backed up by His Word, at least. But folks, us as His servants, we need to do our best to better ourselves for His work, to be that vessel unto God's honor and glory. Anyways, I'll get to this in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. I know I went everywhere, but just bear with us. Continue to pray for us, but Ephesians 5 and 14, it says, "Wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things and God, unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And I'm going to start right there for just a few moments of time. Now, as the Lord had brought this passage of Scripture to my attention, I noticed that there's several things, and I know that we do these and our services, and let me tell you what, I do believe that the Lord has richly blessed the last several times we've come together in His house. But let me tell you what, I want to see and I want to continue pleasing our God, giving Him the honor and glory, and Him continue blessing us the way that He has. But I will say this, with the great things that has happened, we need to stand on guard for the devil. We need to stand on guard for the devil. Because when we think things are going good and nothing bad can happen, that's when he's liable to sneak in the most. But now as we get into this, I want to first of all go into this 18th verse. And it says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I do think that singing praises to God is a very good and essential part to to the service. I really do. I believe that, and I tell you this, there's some people who say, well, if we don't watch it, we're just going to sing the service out. Now, I agree to that to a certain degree. If we feel like that God wants us to sing these songs, then by all means, sing them. But if you just want to hear the song just because you want to hear the song and just be heard, then that's not right. And that's how you crush the spirit of the service. Just the same way how God knocks on people's hearts to testify. And I've known of people who just wanted to stand up and just hear them talk, hear themselves talk. And folks, let me tell you, that's the quickest way to drown out the spirit in God's service. But now we go into this verse that's been on my heart that says in 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you go to Psalms chapter 100, the 100th Psalm, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now stopping right there, as we go into the courts or the household of God, we need to come in with thanksgiving. Now, Brother Barber, what do you mean by all this? Let me tell you what. Several years ago, as I worked for UPS while I was in barber school, I clocked in at about 4 a.m. and our lunch time, but really breakfast time, was at 8 o'clock. So at 8 o'clock, I clocked out so that way I can go to McDonald's real fast and get me a breakfast burrito. I love their breakfast burritos, but you know, I go up to McDonald's real fast, get me a breakfast burrito. By the time I got done with McDonald's and got out of the drive-thru at McDonald's and came back to work, already 20 minutes and my break has passed. And so I just rushed and said, Lord, thank you for this day. Amen. And then, right as soon as I went to take that bite, I felt condemned. I felt terrible, chastised, and it was the Lord, I believe, letting me know that I really wasn't trying to pray or thank him for that. I was trying to be in a hurry about getting my break done with. You know, I tell you what, folks, I believe it's good whenever we're able to take time out of our day, 10 minutes, 20, 30, I don't care what it is, but just thank God for the blessings that he has given us. And I believe that's a great way to start off entering into his holy house, is by offering thanks. Now, I know lots of times we'll say, well, Lord, thank you for this house, thank you for this, thank you for that. But let me tell you what, I don't believe we just need to thank God for the big things that he has blessed us with, but thank him for the very small things that he has given us. Because let me tell you what, every single breath that we breathe, it is a gift that God gives us. Let me tell you, I want to let you know, without him, we wouldn't have even been able to roll out of bed this morning and be on our way to church. Without him, we probably couldn't have even driven our way by ourselves or have gotten through Sunday school. Let me tell you what, folks, we need to thank God for everything that he has immeasurably blessed us with. And I believe not just thanking him if you're saved by him saving your soul, but thank him for the small things and the big things all together that he's blessed us with in our life. And I know that that sounds very elementary, but folks, that's just the start of us trying to let our little light shine. Let me tell you, I've been in a service before, and there was a sister. She stood up, and she said, well, you know, the Lord, he's been knocking on my heart to do this, or he's been knocking on my heart, but I don't know what he wants me to do, so I'm just going to thank him for saving my soul. Let me tell you what, you know, just something as small as that is just enough to just get the Spirit stirring within the service. Folks, let me tell you, the Bible says then in the book of Ephesians in the 5th chapter that we read, that you be not filled with wine or excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to ask the Lord, and we need to make sure when we come to this service that when we're sitting here, that we try to make sure our heart and minds ain't on what's out here. And I have the hardest time with that when football season comes along, because I just love football to death. And sometimes after church service, I'll get off and see how the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing. Lots of times it's bad, but let me tell you what. Our hearts and our minds, it doesn't need to be on these things, because the things in this world, they're just temporal. They don't even please the soul. Just pleases the flesh. That's all it is. That's all it does. But you see, we're not to please the flesh. The Bible says in the book of Romans that we need to put the flesh in subjection to the things of the Spirit of God. Meaning that in Galatians, is what Paul is also writing, that we don't walk in the flesh, but we walk in the Spirit and by the Spirit. And let me tell you, when we walk out in this life, we need to ask God that He just takes a hold of our hands and helps us walk, because without Him, we could do absolutely nothing on our own. And if God leads us to maybe talk to somebody about salvation, praise God. And if something like that, God takes and it just goes into their hearts, and God convicts them about it, let me tell you what, and God saves their soul, let me tell you, it ain't nothing that you need to brag about yourself, but all honor and glory and thankfulness needs to be given to God and God alone. Everything that we do, everything that we have, being thankful for what God has blessed us with. Not too long ago, the Lord placed a sermon on my heart, I guess it was about a year ago, about the four P's of worship. And I'll probably talk about that just a little bit, but there's four P's that I believe is essential in the service of God. And one of that is by psalms. Singing praises and uplifting praises to God and singing. Let me tell you, I'm thankful that we're able to sing the old songs of Zion each time we gather together. But I'm thankful, I'm even more thankful that whenever we sing these songs, that God's Spirit just starts stirring about. And let me tell you what, if you've been saved by the grace of God, those songs, they have a bit of a different meaning to them. I've said this plenty of times, but growing up, for some reason, I've always loved hearing just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. But let me tell you what, whenever I was lost and separated from God, you know what they were? It was just words on a piece of paper. Oh, but then after God had troubled my heart and burdened me down, and I sought after Him, and He gave me that sweet peace that passes all understanding, let me tell you what, I knew exactly what it was like to have a little talk with Jesus. And I could testify today that just a little talk with Jesus makes things right. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It's the sweetest song I know. That amazing grace, sometimes us Baptists, we wear that song out. But let me tell you what, that song, it never really gets old, because just how amazing God's grace is towards mankind. And that grace is what we know is unmerited or undeserving favor. Because by grace are you saved. Through faith. And let me tell you this, through faith that's not of yourselves, the faith that we had and that we needed that day to be saved, I believe God granted that faith. We couldn't even have faith in God alone unless He was there giving it to us, helping us. Folks, let me tell you what, how great this Almighty God that we serve, He really is. You know, there was a thought that came to me in Sunday school, and I was really tempted to say it, but it seemed like the Lord had shut my mouth. But you know, I know as we was talking, we were talking about just being able to see God move. And I'm thankful that I've been able to see God move, you know, in my life. But let me tell you what, I'm even thankful that the day He saved my soul, that I'm able to have fellowship with Him. You know how wonderful it is to have fellowship with not just any God, but the God who created the heavens and the earth and everything that dwells therein. You know how great it is to have fellowship with not just that, but a God who loved humanity so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. As I was thinking about this fellowship, I could not help but think about Enoch. See, Enoch, you know, he lived 65 years, and the Bible says that he begat Methuselah, who, as we know, is about the oldest living person that's recorded in the Bible. But you know, it said after he begat Methuselah that he walked with God, and he walked with God 300 years. And the total lifespan, as we know, for Enoch is 365 years old. But see, if you read the genealogies leading up to that, Adam begat Noah. Adam died. Noah died. Not Noah, Seth. And Seth died. But see, when Enoch begat Methuselah, Bible doesn't say that he died. Bible said that he was just taken up. You know, let me tell you what. You know how wonderful it would be to have such a fellowship with God, to be walking on this earth with Him, that all of a sudden, after a short period of time, God looks and says, well, you've been walking with me so long here, why don't you just walk with me up here? You know how great of a fellowship and relationship Enoch must have had. Very intimate, and I'm thankful that God allows us to have a very intimate and personal relationship with Him. Another P for worship is poetry. Don't you know that the songs that we sing, they have some kind of poetry in them? I'm just skimming through this, but another P, prayer. I believe prayer is very essential for the service of God. I believe that without prayer and without having direct contact with God, we won't even know what to do with ourselves. You know, I know that we have business meeting. You know, second Sunday of the month, we have business meeting today. But let me tell you what, I believe that it's essential that before we go into business meeting, we should have already been praying and asking God to help us with the decisions that needs to be made. I've seen churches just get so disrupted and so divided over little itty-bitty decisions that's been made in business meeting. And let me tell you this, it's not because it's what God essentially wanted, but it's because mankind wanted to take over themselves. Let me tell you this, I believe that this is God's church, and God knows how to run this a whole lot better than what we do. I believe this is God's service, and I believe God knows how to run His service a whole lot better than what we do. Folks, let me tell you, if you don't feel like you have a part that you need to partake, then ask God what you need to do. I believe carrying a burden is necessary for God's children. A burden not just for the Lord's work and the law of not just the Lord's work in His church, but a burden to see people saved. We just read in Ephesians chapter 5 how Paul said, knowing what the will of the Lord is. You know, the Bible says in the book of Romans that the will of God is that not any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I believe the will of God is to have sinners come to Him and be saved. For people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to also have the intimate relationship personally with Him, it falls on our lot and our duty to do that as a member of the Lord's church. How in the church covenant it says that we are to diligently seek out the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances. Not just the people you're related to, but the people that you work with, the people you go to school with, the people that you meet, if we are to diligently seek out the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances. Now, prayer is something that I've always enjoy doing and talking with God myself. But you know, there's lots of times, let's look at Jesus, how in the book of John, Jesus went there to see Lazarus, who had already passed away. But you know, Jesus, when he got down and he prayed, he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me and thou hearest me always. Let me tell you what, folks, I can't say that in my life that God, that my prayers has always went above my head. It's not. But I'm thankful for the few times that it seemed like I got in touch with God in such a way that you feel like you're right there on the footsteps of His throne yourself. I'm thankful God allows that to happen. Another thing is, when being called on to prayer, I think it's good. Now, not everybody has to pray out loud, but I think it's good and it's beneficial for those who feel the need to pray out loud, especially those who have been called on to pray out loud. Because let me tell you, there's been times when I've been so discouraged in my prayers that I just have to stop and then listen to another brother. And you know what? You know what happens after that? I start listening intently. And I say, Amen. And then his prayer became my prayer. And so, Lord, help this. Help him. Help this request in such a way that it would just impact all of us. I know this isn't much of a sermon, but it is what the Lord has laid on my heart. I've never cared how long a preacher might stand, just as long as the Spirit of God is with him. My wife, she sort of picked on me the last couple of weeks. I think I've nagged on Jeff a little bit to take that clock on the wall down. And whenever he did, my wife said, you've just been preaching a whole lot longer. I don't care how long a man may preach, as long as God's accompanying him. But folks, let me tell you, in this service, let God's will be done. And not just this service, but each and every day of our lives, let God's will be done. See, praising God doesn't stop in the service. Thanking God shouldn't stop. Praying to God shouldn't stop. Feeling His power and His presence, it shouldn't just stop. But it's something that we need to strive to do each and every day that God gives us. Jesus, how he told his disciples, I'm almost done, I promise. But how he told his disciples in the book of Matthew that when you go into thy closet and you pray, and thy Father, which you see in secret, shall reward thee openly. I don't think he meant literally having a closet. I believe he meant that when you pray, you need to make sure you shut this world out. But you know what? I have found that actually having a prayer closet helps me. And if you are not able to, or it's hard for you to get this world out, seek after a prayer closet. And once you do, seek the face of God. You see, seeking the face of God, it's not something that needs to stop at lost individuals. It's something that saved individuals need to do too. I'm just rambling on at this point. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get a song. Brother Mark, come to the piano and play, please. But Jesus used me, and even if it's humble, help my will to crumble.